When you're a parent, trying to figure out the rules of the playbook and do the best job possible for your kids can be pretty overwhelming. Heather Shoemaker wants to offer some reassuring advice. Sometimes you have to trust your gut. Heather's a national speaker on parenting and early childhood issues. Her latest book is titled, It's Okay to Go Up the Slide, Renegade Rules for Raising Confident and Creative Kids. She joins us now from the Upper Peninsula. Your first book was It's Okay Not to Share. Where does this new book pick up?
Yeah, this book picks up where the other one left off. So it continues to meet the needs of people with preschool age kids, but it goes into the kindergarten and early elementary school years as well.
And explain this philosophy of the renegade rules. What does that mean?
Well, I think it's about questioning things that we've always taken for granted. Some of these parenting adages such as don't talk to strangers, do your homework, safety first, all these things we've heard all our lives. And the renegade part is I tip those upside down and say, from a child development point of view, it makes sense to do the opposite.
And why is that?
Well, pick your topic. For example, with don't talk to strangers, that's something we've all heard all our lives. But what we're finding is that it doesn't keep kids safe. It's not a message that works. And instead, it's more helpful to have kids learn and gain that kind of street smart practice of interacting with all kinds of people. Unfortunately, of course, it's the friends, family, and acquaintances, people that children already know, who are most likely to harm a child. So the stranger advice doesn't help in that way. And it's most likely the strangers who are going to help a child, help find a lost child or a scared child or give a hurt child some help.
So I can see how you want to kind of upend some of these things that people just always have taken as pretty much as gospel.
Yes, indeed.
There's a pretty widespread image of parenting in 2016, it's no secret, as being super concerned about our kids' safety and super involved in everything they do, from school to athletics to dance and other activities. What is that micromanaging or that, if you will, helicopter parenting do to our kids and to us?
Yes, well, it makes us both stressed on the parent side and the child side, and it sort of gets in the way of the children developing some of the essential life skills that they need, which includes being able to deal with a range of their emotions and cope with them. Because some of the over-sheltering that you talked about is actually emotional sheltering and social interaction sheltering, whether it's strangers or even playdates setting up things with kids. So sometimes we're not just worried about the physical risks kids take, like running too fast on concrete when we shout, be careful, after them. But it's also these social and emotional risks.
Well, because we don't want them to be hurt.
Yes, and it's a good instinct. We want to prevent pain. But I think what we need to understand is that what helps the kids most is giving them the skills they need to cope with life, not to over-shelter them from life itself.
You challenge us in your book, It's Okay to Go Up the Slide, to take off your adult lenses. What do you mean by that, Heather?
Well, I think it's because as adults, you know, we have grown up and sort of forgotten what it's like to be a kid. And we often don't know or have the knowledge of child development, how the human brain grows. And we know scientifically so much more about the value of play and how a child needs direct real life experiences to gain all these skills. But we're sort of doing the opposite. We've become too adult in our thinking, and we either don't know or have forgotten the good parts of a free and scheduled childhood.
And I know in your book, as you go through these renegade rules, you give us examples of where to take off the adult lenses and why we need to do that. Let's touch on a few of the things you recommend in your book, It's Okay to Go Up the Slide, Heather, and the thinking behind them. And first, I want to get right into banning homework in elementary school. Why should there not be homework for elementary grades?
Yes, well, we're finding through the research the academic benefits of homework are highly age-dependent. So it's helpful at the high school level, and then in the middle school level a little bit. But if you look at the research, and this is not just one study, it's a review of 180 different research studies on homework, shows there's zero correlation between the time kids spend on homework and academic achievement in the elementary years.
That is pretty stunning to somebody who came up through, you know, myself doing lots of homework and watch my kids do lots of homework. And I think we all just assume, gosh, that's how they learn.
Right. It must be good for them. I think also with homework, the same studies are finding it's developing negative attitudes towards school. So it's not getting that academic benefit, but it's creating kids who are feeling that they don't like homework, they don't like learning, they don't like school.
Well, I'm wondering, so you've got a child at school, teacher assigns homework, and how does a parent go up the slide and say, no, I don't want my child to do that? I mean, you and your husband have two children. You live in Michigan. How have you applied this in your home?
Our family has banned homework in elementary school, and we have just talked to the teachers individually, in some cases also talked to the principals. But what we're finding is that teachers tend to want parents who are supportive and involved in their child's learning. And so when they found that we were supportive, just supportive in our own philosophy, they were very welcoming on the whole. So that's what we're finding, is that teachers want supportive parents and parents want to support their kids. But there's more than one way to go about this.
I can see, though, logistically how hard it could be to be the fourth grader whose mom has talked to the teacher and said, we don't believe in homework, and other kids are turning in homework, and there has to be some tension there, no?
It depends. We have not found that to be the case. But also homework, there's getting to be a lot more of it, and it's coming at younger and younger ages. So you said, yeah, you had lots of homework as a kid, mm-hmm. and your kids did. Well, it's very typical to have homework now at the kindergarten level. And if there's no homework at the preschool level, a lot of times the parents will complain and ask for it. So there's a sense of fear driving this, that the kids are going to be left behind somehow, and that having the homework will help them catch up with the rest of the world. But instead of having actual homework assignments, something like reading for pleasure at home is much more effective. And another thing that's more effective than homework, and this is all based in the research, is sleep. It's not glamorous, but getting the kids to bed early will improve their memory and learning and focus and their impulse control, so their behavior in the classroom the next day.
I have to ask you about technology, because I love your advice to parents in your book to embrace Amish iPads. What does that mean?
Yes. Well, you know, a lot of people think the Amish won't use any technology, but they're actually technology selective. So they look at a piece of technology before just letting it wash over them and decide, how are we going to use this? And are we going to set any restrictions on it so that it helps support values in our family and community? So it's stealing that idea from the Amish and saying, can we somehow look at technology before just accepting it and letting it come however it comes? How can we set some limits on it and make it useful? In other words, use technology. Don't be scared of technology, but put it in its place.
And you also recount in your book your own experience with your son and how you had a really good way of getting your own child to police himself. Tell us how you did that.
Yes, well, the idea is to get the kids to develop some impulse control against the power of the really exciting, enthralling video game. So instead of setting a timer where the whole machine will turn off on its own, it's good to have the child start practicing to have the willpower to turn it off on their own power. So what we did is we asked our child to, instead of us as parents coming in and saying, you must stop now, because that sets up a icky power struggle between the child and the parent, but allow the child to have that power struggle between themselves and the machine. And it's interesting, because then the power struggle dissipates between the parents and child, and the child feels powerful. I'm more powerful than the machine. And we do acknowledge, we say, you know, it can be really tricky to stop these games because they want you to keep playing. And some of the games, really, they send messages to you if you haven't played the game in a while. They're trying all their tactics to get these kids completely sucked in. So just tell the kid, this is a challenge. It's going to be hard for you to turn it off. But if you can show me that you are more powerful than the video game, then you're showing me that you're old enough to play it.
Bullying and mean girl behavior is certainly something our society focuses on. How would your renegade rules attack that? Would it help stop the mean words and bullying, or are they gauged more at making our kids more resilient to whatever mean stuff comes their way, as we know it will?
Right. Well, I think in the past we were all given the advice that sticks and stones, you know, they won't hurt us with the mean words, all that sort of part. That doesn't really give you any useful tools to deal with mean words. And I think that mean words are really no different than the physical kind of meanness that kids may show to each other, like shoving or pushing or that sort of thing. It's just that when that aggression comes in the form of words, we get less certain of what to do. So we tend to focus on the words themselves, like don't say the word stupid, or, you know, we don't say that word in this house, or that sort of thing. But instead, the mean words are a signal that the child is upset and doesn't like something and doesn't know what to do. And so they're resorting to these mean words. So ignore the word and go directly to the feeling underneath. There's a big emotion driving that behavior. Find out what's going on. There's something you don't like. What is it? What is he doing that you don't like? What is she doing? And find out what that emotion is. And then it's a conflict, just like a shoving and pushing kind of conflict is. Find out how the kids can talk directly about what they don't like and solve the conflict. It's a basic peace skill, conflict mediation. But sometimes we get confused when these mean words pop up and we feel like we don't know how to control them.
You know, Heather, there's such a tension between kind of going along with the way everyone's always done things and something doesn't feel right, we need a change. Where does that boundary line lie and how do we cross it?
Yes. Well, I think there's two main ways. One is a lot of adults, parents and others, actually feel something is wrong in their gut. They just feel as if they need to support the system somehow. So trust your gut in some ways. If your gut is telling you that it's wrong when your child has gym class instead of recess 3 days a week, then trust yourself that there is something wrong with that. Or if your child is crying and has stomach aches every day before school, there's something wrong there. So trust yourself there's something wrong going on and listen to that gut. And then dive into some of the research on the topic, because what we know about child development and what we're doing with our kids, the gap is wider than it ever has been before. So the research is showing us that young kids need a lot of play and play through learning, and that they don't need to focus entirely on the cognitive side of their brains, the academic side, that they need a full range of social, emotional, physical learning. So we know that, and yet we're filling their days up with scheduled time and heavy, heavy dose of the cognitive side, all the early academics. So if there's something wrong, listen to your gut and then go dig into what the brain research is telling us, because it's pretty clear that some of our widespread common practices, both in our homes and in our schools, are not what's good and not what's best for kids.
Heather Shoemaker's book is It's Okay to Go Up the Slide, Renegade Rules for Raising Confident and Creative Kids. Heather, it was great to talk with you and get your insights. Thank you so much for spending time with us on Stateside.
Thank you very much.